We're here on Daf Nun Gimel on Beis. We had mentioned in the Mishnah on Daf Nun Gimel on Aleph that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Habal Imo, even though she's also legally married to his father, which makes her also at the same time Eishes Aviv, nevertheless, he's only Chayav for Aim Bilvat. And the Gemara here analyzes the source and the reasoning for Rabbi Yehuda. Ki asa Rabbi Yitzchak Tani. And this you'll see approximately 10 lines down from the top of Nun Gimel Amid Beis. And Rabbi Yitzchak says that he had a brisa that accepted the tradition of our Mishnah, Kidisnan as our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eino Chayv Ela Mishum Ha'em Bilvad. So even though she's an overlap of both Imo and Eishes Aviv, he will only be chayv one chatos if he has this relationship with shogeg. V'taima mai. So now, what's the logic of Rabbi Yehuda? What's the basis for Rabbi Yehuda's conclusion? The Gemara is going to quote Abaye's explanation. The Gemara is going to reject Abaye, but then the Gemara is going to, in the name of Rava, try to resurrect Abaye and make sense out of it. Now, in order to appreciate the Yalfusa of Abaye, let's take a look at the Psukim in Perek Yud Ches of Sefer Vayikra, Psukim Zayin, Ches, and Yud Aleph. In Pasuk Zayin, it says, Ervas Avicha, the Ervas Imcha Lo Segale, Imcha Hi Lo Segale Ervasa. Then in Pasuk Ches, the very next Pasuk, Ervas Eishes Avicha Lo Segale, Ervas Avicha Hi. And then if you fast forward to Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ve'isha She'yishkav Es Eishes Aviv, Ervas Aviv Gila, Mos Yumsu Shneem Dmeim Bom. So we have here two psukim of Azhara, of Lo Saseh. Pasuk Zayin is a Lo Saseh of Lo Segale Imcha. And Pasuk Ches, Lo segale ervas avicha for Eishes Aviv. That's the Azaros. And then in Pasuk Yud Aleph we have the Onesh Mos Yumsu Shneem, which is a Chiyuv Skila. Omar Abai, the Omar Kra, Imcha Hi. We have in Pasuk Zayin the words Imcha Hi. And the Gemara understands, Abaye understands that those words are superfluous, and the extra words come for a mute. Mishum imo atomachayvo, v'i atomachayvo mishum eishes av. That the chiyuv here for imo, even though, again, she's legally married to his father, is only for eishes, for imo and not for eishes of. Then the Gemara slugs up Abaye, and this we mentioned yesterday, Elameato, if you're going to be consistent, then what are you going to do with the next Pasuk? The next Pasuk says, Ervas Eishes Avicha Lo Segale, Ervas Avicha Hi. So again we have that extra phrase here, Avicha Hi, and we're going to say now that if he has a relationship with Eishes Aviv, Mishum Eishes Aviv Atomachayv, V'ya Atomachayv Mishum Imo. And the Gemara says we're going to come to a ridiculous conclusion, because then we're going to say that in the case of Imo, Shehi Eishes Aviv, when we have both Arayos, is Koi Hachu Memaitla, Koi Hachu Memaitla. We're going to apply each one of these two Mi'utim according to Abai's logic. We're going to say that Imo, he is going to exclude a chiyuv for Eishes Aviv. I'm going to say that Eishes, that Ervas Avicha, he is going to exclude Imo. And it's going to be very strange. If we had one of the two, if it was Imo, but not Eishes Aviv, then he's chayev for Imo. If it would be Eishes Aviv, his father's second wife, but it's not Imo, he'd be chayev Eishes Aviv. But if there's an overlap, then we're going to apply both mi'utim, and that's called Hashta. Now we're going to have Koy Hachem Amaitla, Koy Hachem Amaitla, Hashta Imo, She'ena Eishis Aviv Machayvo. So for Imo, who's not his father's wife, let's say, for example, there's an illegitimate marriage, or Eishis Aviv She'ena Imo Machayv. If it's his father's wife, but it's not his mother, right? It's father's second wife, let's say, is then he's only chayv for Eishis Aviv and not for Eishis Imo, because we have the miut of Ervas Avichahi. So then it comes out that Imo Shehi Eishis Aviv, if she's both an overlap of Imo and Eishis Aviv, lo machayv klal, that doesn't make any sense, because you can apply both miutim, the miut of Imohi and the miut of Ervas Avichahi, and you're going to say that Mimonavshach, he's part of Vesu, and furthermore, Rabbanan Nami Aksiv Imchahi. So at this point, and this is what we discussed yesterday, the Gemara rejects Abaye. The Gemara tries to go on and make another attempt to say that maybe Imcha he is for a derivation of Rav Shisha Brei de Rav Idi, which is a Gemara that we're going to see later on Adaf Nundalid Amid Aleph. And the Gemara is going to say that Rav Yehuda Humi Boile Lich de Rav Shisha Brei de Rav Idi, that perhaps Rabbi Yehuda needs the pasuk of Imcha Hi to derive the conclusion of Rav Shisha Brei de Rav Idi. And if that be the case, we cannot use it as a bai would have it to exclude a chiyuv for Eishes Aviv. And now the Gemara tries to offer a different source for Rabbi Yehuda. Ela Amar Rav Acha Brei de Rav Ika Makra Ervasa. Okay, now we have the pasuk Zion that says Ervas Avich Ervas Imcha Lo Segala Imcha Ilo Segala Ervasa. Ervasa is written in the singular, and it's coming to tell you that Mishum Erva Achas Atamachay V'Atamachayvo Mishum Shtei Arayis. And there's the word Ervasa, which appears in the pasuk regarding Imcha. There it says Ervasa, and we don't find that pasuk, we don't find the extra word Ervasa in the singular in the next pasuk Ches regarding Eishes Aviv. So therefore we can circumvent the kasha, the objection that was raised against Abaye, and say that Ervasa is going to teach us that only the erva achas, only the erva of Imo is chayfa, but not the erva of Eishes Aviv. But we have to object to this understanding of acha, because what are we going to do with ervas kaloscha? There the pasuk says, that's pasuk tesvav here in the same perek yudches. It says Eishes Binchahi Lo Segala Ervasa, and Hachinami Mishum Erva Achas Atamachayv Yatamachayv Shem Shtei Rishayos. Now we're going to say that even though his daughter-in-law is a married woman, there's no chiyuv for Eishes Ish. Vasnan, but our Mishnah says Avol Kalos Chayv Le Mishum Kalos Mishum Eishes Ish Bein B'chayev Bino Bein Liachar Mishus Bino, that you get a double whammy over here. You get two chatos. And lo poleg Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda doesn't disagree. Now, since it says in the pasuk Ervasa, and you're telling me that Ervasa b'lashon yachid is coming to exclude a second chiyuv, and that's why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, when there's an overlap between Imo and Eishes Aviv, you only get one chatos, one chiyuv chatos, then the same logic should apply in the case of kaloscha, and there should be no chiyuv for Eishes Ish. You should only have to bring one chatos, and Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the Tanakam apparently that you chayv two chatos. So you see that Ervasa is not a valid derivation. You may accept that even though Ervasa is in Lashon Yachid, it might still include two different chiyuvei chatos. Ella Kevan the Chad Gufahu, the logic here is that if it's one goof, Afal Gav, the Trey Sur, even though the two Shemos, nevertheless, Siv Ervasa in the singular, Hachinami came with the Chad Gufahu, Afal Gav, the Trey Sur, Ninu, Siv Ervasa. So the word Ervasa could, even though it's in Losh Yachid, incur two Chiyuvi Chatos. The reason why the Torah uses the singular is because there's only one goof. Elamah Rava, now Rava, as we said earlier, wants to come back to Abai's drasha, namely Imcha. It says Imcha he. That's the reasoning for Rabbi Yehuda to exclude a second chatos for Eishes, to add on, to exclude the add on of Eishes Aviv. And the kasha was, what are we going to do with the pasuk of Ervas Avicha, which seems to exclude Imo in the case of Eishes Aviv, who is also his mother. So the Gemara says, Kasam Rabbi Yehuda, Ervas Avicha, that pasuk Ches, Ervas Avicha, Zo Eishes Avicha. I'm sorry. Let's go back to Pasuk Zayin. Pasuk Zayin opens up with Ervas Avicha, Zo Eishes Avicha. Let's explain. The simple pshat, the pshuto shel mikra of Ervas Avicha, would seem to indicate that we're talking about a Mishkav Zachar situation of a son who had a relationship with his father, and that's going to be the Shittas Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda is going to derive from Gzeirah Shavah that Ervas Avicha is Eishes Avicha. U'maisilei b'Gzeirah Shavah. So we'll see the Gzeirah Shavah in just a minute. U'mashma bein Eishes Aviv shehi imo, bein Eishes Aviv she'eno imo. So when it says Ervas Avicha, which means the wife of his father, it could be the wife of his father because it's his mother, it could be the wife of his father's second marriage. And there's no indication here about Imo yet, because when it says in this pasuk, Ervas Imcha lo segal, it's referring to his father's wife. So Imcha, Imo, she'eino eishes aviv minayin. What about a case where it's only Imo, and she is not the wife of his father? Talmud Lomar, Ervas Imcha lo segale Imcha hi. Which means that now, in the juxtaposition between the ratio of this pasuk, Ervas Avicha, and the extra words Imcha hi, we can derive the conclusion, Mishum Imo atomachayvo, Ve'i atomachayvo, Mishum Eishes. Oh, this delivers Rabbi Yehuda Shita, that you're only chayv one chatos in the case of Imo, who is legally married to his father. And now we've defended Abai's presentation from the onslaught, the kasha, that we had. In other words, based on the interpretation of this pasuk Zayin, you can't object from pasuk Ches. According to Rava's understanding of this pasuk Zayin, the beginning of the pasuk speaks about Eishes Aviv, and we would have interpreted that this pasuk, this lav, or shall we say this azhar of Lo Segale, applies even where the Eishes Aviv is Imo. And that makes sense because the next part of the pasuk says Ervas Imcha. So we have now the overlap. And then the pasuk goes ahead and says Imcha he as a miut to exclude a chiyuv for Eishes Aviv in the case of Imo. But when we get to pasuk Ches, where it says the extra words Ervas Avicha he, then it doesn't make sense to say that this is a miut to exclude the chiyuv of Imo, because there was never a hava mina from the reish of the pasuk to assume otherwise. Imo is not mentioned in the beginning of this pasuk. It simply says ervas eshes avicha. In the previous pasuk zayin, it says ervas avicha and ervas imcha. So then it makes sense to say imcha. He is coming to exclude ervas avicha. But in pasuk ches, the pasuk afterwards, where it doesn't mention imcha at all, it doesn't make sense to say that ervas avicha, he is coming to be mamayit imo. And therefore, you don't get into the objection that the Gemara raised before of Koy Hacha Mamaitla, Koy Hacha Mamaitla. We have two miyutim and two psukim, and therefore, in the overlap situation, to be nochi of chatas. And now, Rabosai, we're up to Nun Dalid Omid Aleph. Tanya Kavase de Rava. The Gemara wants to bring a drasha in a brisa that would support Rava's way of understanding the pasuk. And this brisa reflects the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rashi points out that this brisa is based on Torah's Kohanim, and the Gemara later on Daf Pei Vav is going to establish that all the brisos in Torah's Kohanim follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, in order to appreciate this drasha in the brisa, we'll take a look back in Vayikra Yidches again, Pasuk Zayin, we saw already, Ervas Avicha, Ervas Imcha Lo Segala, Imcha Hi Lo Segala Ervasa. And now we'll fast forward to Pasuk Yid Aleph, Isha Sheyishkav Es Eishes Aviv, Ervas Aviv Gila Mos Yumsu Shnehem Dmehem Bam. And this Brisa is going to start with the drasha on the opening word in Pasuk Yid Aleph, Ish. Ish prat lekatan. It means that if a katan violates this isur of Eishes Aviv, he's not liable. Asher yishkav. The next part of the pasuk, Asher yishkav es Eishes Aviv. Mashma ben Eishes Aviv sheimo ben Eishes Aviv shelo imo. Again, this is the pasuk which presents the onesh. We've already had the previous pasuk that presents the azhara, and the simple pshat in the pasuk is eishes aviv, even if it's imo. And we have the overlap, imo she'ena eishes aviv minayin, but the pasuk doesn't say anything about imo. As far as the chiv skila here of Mos Yumsu Dmehem Bam, because the pasuk is referring to Eishes Aviv. Talmud Lomar Ervas Avicha Gila. It says in this pasuk Ervas Avicha Gila Mufne. Mufne means that it is a free pasuk. It's not taken by any other gzeirah shava. And therefore, mufna lahakish v'ladu mimen gzeres shava. We can use it for a gzeres shava. Now, in the pasuk itself, there's no indication that we're talking about a case of imo who is not eishes aviv. Because again, the pasuk describes this woman as eishes aviv, ervas avich, aviv gila. It would sound like that we're certainly talking about Eishes Aviv. And if you're talking about Eishes Aviv, then the phrase in this pasuk, Ervas Avicha Gila, is superfluous. So we're going to use it for a Gzeirah Shavah, which again will be explained in just a minute when we get to the end of the Brisa. But first, this pasuk Yid Aleph, ends with the words Mos Yumsu Biskila. That's going to teach us Biskila. Ata Omer Biskila. O Eina El Bi Achas Michal Miso Samuris Betorah. How do we know it's referring specifically to Skila? Nemar Kan Tmeim Bam, because at the end of the pasuk says Tmeim Bam. Venemar Bi Ovi Doni, which is the paradigm for the Chiv Skila, Tmeim Bam. So therefore, we derive whenever it says Tmeim Bam, it's a Chiv. It's a chiyuv skila, and that's based on the pasuk of Ovi Yidoni in Vayikra Chav, pasuk Chav Zayin, because there it says Ba'even Yirgumu Osam, which tells me that he's chayuv skila. So we know therefore that in the case of Baal Imo, he's Chayav Skila. Just like in Ovi, Donia Dmeim Bam, where the Torah says explicitly that the Chiv is Chiv Skila, so too, by equation here, in the context of Ashes Aviv, it says Dmeim Bam, to teach you that Yechayev Skila. But that's only in the pasuk that tells you the onesh. That's pasuk Yid Aleph. Onesh shamanu azhara minayin. How do we know that there's an azhara? That because every onesh requires a previous azhara, which warns against it or creates the lav. And the answer is that now we go back to pasuk Zayin again, and there it says Talmud Lomer ervas avicha lo segala, and that teaches me lo segala a lav an azhara. So we have now both a lav and an onish for ervas avicha, and then the pasuk says ervas avicha. In other words, there's an extra phrase here in the pasuk ervas avicha, and what is that coming to teach us? Ata omer eshes avicha, o eino ela ervas avicha mamish. We don't know what the pasuk means here when it says ervas avicha in pasuk zayin, because that could be taken literally, as the chacham will soon see, will take that pasuk to refer to a mishkav zachar, where a son has a relationship with his own father. Nemar kan ervas avicha lo segala, since the pasuk says here in Pasuk Zayin, Ervas Avicha Lo Segalan, as we said, we don't know exactly what that means, but Nemar Lahalon, Ervas Avicha Gila, and that's the Pasuk Yud Aleph that we said was the Onesh, and there, Malahalon Be'isha Sakosuv Medaber, just like that Pasuk Yud Aleph is certainly talking about Ishus, because the beginning of that Pasuk Yud Aleph is Asher Yishkach Ves Eishes Aviv. So Eishes Aviv is explicit in that pasuk. Is Afkan here too, in the case of the Azhara in pasuk Zayin, is the Ishus HaKosim Adar. We're talking about the wife of his father, but not his father himself. Umashma Bein Eishes Aviv Shehi Imo Bein Eishes Aviv She eino imo. Either she's his father's wife or she's his mother, and there's no overlap. But imo she eino. I'm sorry, mashma. It would seem, by since there's no qualification to apply both to Eishes Aviv shehi imo, if there's an overlap, or if it's only Eishes Aviv, his father's second wife, imo she eino Eishes Aviv. What if it's only his mother and she's not legally married to his father? How do we know that that's also included here in the Onesh? Talmud Lomar, Ervas Imcha Lo Segala. That here the Torah went ahead and said Ervas Imcha Lo Segala, meaning if there's only an Erev of Imo, nevertheless he violates this Azhara. And Eliel Bazhara, Shasa Kosov Imo Shani Ishta, Shani Ashis Aviv, Kimo Shi Ashis Aviv. Now we have in Pasuk Zayin an Azhara for his mother, but we don't have an Onesh for his mother. Again, when it's his mother, it's not his father's wife. Onesh Minayin. How do we have the Onesh? Nemarkan Ervas Avicha Lo Segale. And here we have the Gzeres Shava. It says, Ervas Avicha Lo Segale, V'nemar Lahalan, Ervas Avicha Gila. So in the Onesh, which is written here in Pasuk Yid Aleph, we have the words, Ervas Aviv Gila. And that's going to teach me that so too, in the Pasuk Ervas Aviv Lo Segale, there too, there is an onish. And that's the Gzeresh of Ma bi Azhara Asa Kosev Imo Shena Eishes Aviv Ki Imo Shehi Eishes Aviv. We now have an Azhara for Imo, who's not his father's wife, is Af Ba'onesh, by virtue of this Gzeres Shava, Asa Kosev Imo Shein Eishes Aviv, Kimo Shehi Eishes Aviv, there'll be an Onesh for his mother, even though she's not his father's wife. Then the Brisa concludes, Imcha Hi, Mishum Imo Ata Mechaivo, V'iyato Mechaivo Mishum Eishes Aviv. So the extra words imcha hi, that was Abaye, and the way Rav interpreted it is the mute, that in the case where there's an overlap between imo and eishes aviv, you're chayev for imo, v'yata mechayev v'shum eishes aviv, you're only chayev one chatos and not two chatos. This is the Torah's konim of Rabbi Yehuda, the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, and we have here an explicit drush of imcha hi as a mute, to say he's only chayv one chatos. And now you'll ask the question for Rabbanon. What are the Rabbanon going to do with this pasuk of Ervas Avicha Lo Segala? It seems that according to the Rabbanon, this pasuk is extra because it says imcha hi. Is the Gemara answers that ervas avicha mamish, that they understand that we're talking about a relationship between the son and the father. The pasuk says in Yudches Zayin, ervas avicha vervas imcha lo segala imcha hi. So the Gemara earlier told us that according to Rabbi Yehuda, those two words imcha hi are extra words. Why? Because it already says early in the pasuk ervas avicha, and ervas avicha according to Rabbi Yehuda is referring to the wife of his father. So the imcha hi now becomes what we call a miut to tell us that, although at the beginning of the pasuk we're referring to the wife of his father.
How can avicha be a wife?
Right, so that was the Gzeres Shava. I don't have time now to go through the Gzeres Shava because otherwise we won't do the daf for today. But you can listen to it online. Okay. So in any event, follow what goes on here. We're okay with Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, ervas avicha refers to his father's wife. And since it refers to his father's wife, the next part of the pasuk of ervas imcha, with the miut of imcha hi, is going to refer to his mother who's not his father's wife. And it's going to tell you that if it's his mother who's not his father's wife, let's say they're not married legally, for example, then there's no chiyu for, other than for imcha. There's only a one single chiyu for imcha. And then it says at the beginning of the pasuk, ervas avicha ve'ervas imcha, right? So it combines a woman who's both ervas avicha, meaning it's his father's wife, and at the same time it's ervas imcha, so it means his mother is legally married to his father. And then it says imcha hi to tell you that you're only chayef for imo and you're not chayef for eishes aviv. So you have an overlap of imo and eishes aviv, and Rabbi Yehuda says you're only chayef for imo. So you only bring one carbon chatos. Now the Rabbanan say you chayef two chatos. That was the Rabbanan in the Mishnah on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. What are they going to do with imcha hi? So that's what we're holding now. For Rabbanan, what do they do with this pasuk imcha? So the answer is, if you go back to the beginning of the pasuk, is ervas avicha mamish. They never accepted the gzeirah shavah Rabbi Yehuda and interpreted ervas avicha as referring to ishus, meaning the wife of his father. So therefore the beginning of this pasuk has nothing to do with the end of the pasuk. The beginning of this pasuk is talking about having a son having a relationship, right, a mishkav zocher relationship with his own father, and then the pasuk goes on to imo, and therefore the words imcha hi are not coming as a mute.
So they all serve the son.
That's the way I understood it. Okay, then.
So ervat imcha is not a mute. To quote you, it's imcha hi. That's the mute.
Again, it depends according to whom you're going. If you're going to Rabbi Yehuda, then since we already have Eishes Av at the beginning of the pasuk, that's Ervas Avicha, then Imcha Hi is coming as a miut to tell you that if it's his mother and his father's wife, you're only chai for Imcha. You only bring one chatas. But according to the Chachamim, it's not fair to expect that Imcha Hi is coming as a miut, because this pasuk is not referring to Eishes Aviv at all. Actually, the next pasuk you'll see, pasuk Ches, according to Chachamim, is introducing Ervas Eishes Avicha. There it says Eishes Avicha. So this first pasuk has nothing to do with Eishes Aviv. And therefore, it's not fair to say that Imcha Hi is coming to exclude Eishes Aviv, meaning that you're only Chai for Imcha and you're not Chai for Eishes Aviv. We're not even talking about Eishes Aviv. Okay. Now, the Gemara asks the following question: why would the Rabbanan use Ervas Avicha in Pasuk Zayin as a case of a homosexual relationship? Hai mi v'es zachar nafka. We have another Pasuk, which is in the same chapter, but Pasuk Yud Beis, and there the Torah tells us that you're not allowed to have a Mishkav Zachar relationship. So what do you add here by mentioning the father? L'chayev olav shtayim. In other words, if he accidentally, again, I don't know how this is possible, but somehow he accidentally had this relationship with his father, he's high for two separate violations.
Is that because he's ignorant of it? Can he plead ignorance of the law?
I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, maybe there's a difference between a guy and a Jew in this case. A guy certainly cannot. A guy is put to death even if he claims he... All right, we'll get to that later on. Ukir Rabbi Yehuda, Dom Rabbi Yehuda, Nachri. Now, the word Nachri here we'll soon see is Lashon Saginar, and it's a reference to Yisrael. So, just cross out the word Nachri for a moment and put in the word Yisrael. Yisrael Bal Aviv Chayev Shtayim. In other words, he's violating a double erva. This is what we call Shnei Shemos and Guf Echad. You remember we discussed that? Because at the same time it's Mishkav Zohar and it's Mishkav Ervas Aviv. And therefore he engenders two chatos. Haba alachi Aviv Chayev Shtayim. Now again, the Torah says that you're not allowed to have a relationship with your father's brother. According to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that's a referring to the wife of his father's brother. No, it's his aunt by marriage. How would you pronounce that word? Aunt?
Aunt.
His aunt by marriage. I know my son-in-law calls an auntie. I don't know, maybe that's an Australian thing. I don't know. Anyway, so it's his aunt by marriage, but according to Chachamim, we're referring to his uncle, his father's brother. So there's an overlap of two arayos here. It's first of all Mishkav Zohar in the universal sense, and it's also Achi Aviv, and you get two chatos for that. Now the Gemara is going to explain why the word Nachri here is used, and it's a reference to Yisrael. Amar Rava, Mistabra Milsa Rabbi Yehuda B'Yisrael B'Shogeg U'B'Karban. So we're talking about a Jew, and it was a Shogeg situation, and and the only issue is how many Karbanas he's Chayev. And here, according to Rabbi Yehuda's point, he gets two Karbanos. And the Chachamim will accept that interpretation and he's chayv two chatos. And that's why according to Chachamim it's both Ervas Avicha and it's Mishkav Zohar. V'haydekomer Nachri, why does Rabbi Yehuda in the Brisa say Nachri Lishna Ma'al Yehu? He calls it a euphemism. Okay, we call it a Lashon Saginar, like you don't want to refer to a blind person that he's blind, you call him a person who has lots of light in his eye. The Isal Kedai with Nachri Mamish, it's impossible to say that Nachri Mamish, because Nachri Mamish in all situations of Mishkav Zohar is Chayev Misa. Dino my Ninhu, what's the punishment for a guy who has a homosexual relationship? K'tola, he's put to death. This is the principle, I don't remember, no, it's later on, it's in the Nuns. It's called, by Nachri, the rule is Azarosam Zui Misasam. Once the Torah prohibits it, that's the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach, then that's already their misa. There's no shogeg by a guy. A guy is responsible to know all the seven mitzvahs. He can't claim ignorance of the law. So therefore, what are we talking about? Death here. He's chayiv misa. So you're telling me whether it's one misa for Zachar, another misa for Aviv, what difference does it make? Betray katali katali, like, can you kill a person twice? The Gemara doesn't think that we know how to resurrect a dead person in order to kill him a second time. It's like the case where you say to a person, you see a person stuck under a car. So you say to him, have an accident? So he says, no thanks, I already had one. Yeah, what would you say, Mike?
Shogeg is not ignorance of the law. Shogeg is you doing something by mistake. It's not that you're ignorant.
Well, basically, shogeg comes under two different categories. One category is that you're not aware of something. Let's say, for example, you don't know today is Shabbos, right, and so forth and so on. And then there's another kind of shogeg, which is called Omer Mutter, where he thinks he's ignorant of the law. He thinks it's permissible. Right. That's a sugya masechta makis of Omer Mutter with Abayi and Rava. It's labeling. Okay. Fine. Tanya Nami Hochi, we have a brisa. Habal Aviv Chayev Shtayim. Habal Achi Aviv. Achi Aviv Chayev Shtayim. And we're talking clearly about a Yisro, we're not talking about a Nochri. So with regard to a Nochri, we don't count violations, it's irrelevant. He's Chayev Misa in any event. But with regard to Yisrael, it's a din of shogeg and a chiyuv karbon. There we're going to count up to figure out how many karbonos he's chayev. Ika di amri. Now we have a second lishna. The lo ki Rabbi Yehuda. The brisa does not reflect the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Ika di amri. Afilu tema Rabbi Yehuda. Umaisi leba kalvachomer meachi aviv. So we said that Rabbi Yehuda has exeris shava to tell us that Ervas Aviv is a reference to Ashes. Ashes Aviv. Did I get that right? Ashes Aviv. Right. Ashes Aviv. However, if that be the case, then there's no Pasuk that would generate two Chiyuvim in the case of Ervas Aviv Mamish. In other words, in the case of a Mishkav Zohar. So the Gemara now says that there are two different Lashonos, two different traditions as to what Rabbi Yehuda's Shita was. And according to the first Shita is that if Rabbi Yehuda indeed uses Esha Ervas Aviv, Ervas Avicha for Eshes Avicha, so we don't have a double Erva in the case of Aviv Mamish. You understand what I mean by saying Aviv Mamish, right? But there's another Lishna that says, Afilu Tema Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda could also derive the conclusion that in the case of Aviv Mamish Yishchayv Tu Chatos, even though the Pasuk itself is referring to Eshes Aviv, Umaisile Bekalvachomer Me'achi Aviv. Since the Torah has a separate lav for Achi Aviv, how much more so Aviv? Because what's his relationship to Achi Aviv? It's because he's the brother of his father. How much more so the father himself? Ma Achi Aviv, the kurva the Aviv who? It's only through his Aviv that he has a relationship to his uncle. Is Chayev Shtayim, and the Torah went out of its way to set it up as two separate Arayas and Bimachayev and two Chatos. Is Aviv Lo Kolshkin? How much more so in Aviv itself? So what is this Machlokas here? Can you derive Aviv and be mechayev him two misos, or in the case of shogeg two chatos from a kalvachom from achi aviv? Does this kind of derivation go beyond the purview of a kalvachomer? And the Gemara says, "Kamiflugi bepluta dabai v'rova." This is an ancient machlokes chin abai v'rova. How far and how powerful is a kalvachomer? Mar sovar onshin min adin. The Shita of Abayi is that you could derive a punishment from a Kal V'chomer. If the Torah says you're chayev this punishment, X, in a lighter violation, then how much more so you're chayev that punishment in a more severe violation? And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda could also agree that in the case of Aviv, even though the Pasuk itself of Ervas Avicha is referring to Eishes Aviv, he could still derive a chiyuv, a double chiyuv of Shtechatos in the case of Aviv, meaning Aviv Mamish in Mishkav Zohar, from a Kal V'chomer from Achi Aviv, Umar Sovar. However, the other Braisa that has the tradition that Rabbi Yehuda never accepted the chiyuv of two chatos in the case of Aviv, Sover Einonshim Benantin. He accepts the sheet of Rava that we cannot derive onshim punishments from a kalvachomer. And therefore, we have no basis, Mimonavshach, to derive a double chiyuv chatos in Aviv. If you can tell it from the pasuk of Ervas Avicha, well, that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is referring to Ishus of Eshes of. And if you can say with a kalvachomer from Achi of, that's not feasible because Ein Onshim Min Hadin.
Was this just a Masora that Abai and Rava had, or do they try?
I think it's a logical machlokas. Let's start with Abaye. Abaye is very simple. If you're chayav and an onish for achi aviv, how much more so for aviv? Mm-hmm. There's no flaw in that reasoning.
Right.
What's the reasoning for Rava of ein onshim min adin? So there are two approaches here. One approach is to say that even if you have the most powerful, compelling logic, there's always a possibility of a pircha. A pircha slugs up a kalvachomer. Now, you and I think that a pircha is a logical pircha. It's not. Pircha works within a pure conceptual framework according to the rules and regulations of kalvachomer. Kalvachomer is not what you and I think it is. You know, it's not just and you trade with your thumb.
It also has to be mesora. It's not just.
No, I don't know that you need a mesora for a kalvachomer. That's a heavy issue. But leave that out. Let's assume that Adam done kalvachomer liatzmo. Even so, a kalvachomer has to fit into a very. I mean, I'll give you an example. I mean, not long ago, probably you learned Bava Kamma. A half a year ago or so, a year ago, whatever it was, Bava Kamma. So if you learn Bava Kamma Daf Hey, you'll see all sorts of kalvachomers. If you're chayev in Rishus Arabim for Shein for Karen, how much more so in Shein Veregel and back foot, you'll notice that those kalvachomers are not based on what we call human rational logic. Kalvachomer itself has to fit into a very specific structure, and it's full of rules and regulations. Therefore, the laws of Pircha and Kalvachomer are also very technical within the legal world of Halacha. That's why Ein Onshim Min Adin, because you never know if down the line someone brilliant will come up with a Pircha that fits into the halachic logic. So again, Rabbi Osei, I don't mean to say that halach is not logical. What I mean to say is that halach has a logic of its own. It's a system of logic that's a closed system. It has its own structure. It's not human logic.
Then you've got an argument against the buyer, then, haven't you?
If you accept that there's a possibility of a pircha, that we really... Abai says we don't have to worry about a pircha. Why? Because this kalvachomer is ironclad. It's sealed on all sides. And Rava says, wait a minute, there's always a possibility that someone down the line is going to come with a pircha. Meanwhile, you killed someone based on a kalvachomer, and lo and behold, some brilliant guy came up with an unidentified pircha that we never would have...
Which just qualifies that kalvachomer.
And that upslugs the kalvachomer, and therefore don't you can derive isurim from a kalvachomer, because in the worst case scenario, if someone has a pircha, okay, so we avoided a violation of an isur, but don't derive onshim from a kalvachomer, because once a person is put to death, you know, you can't resurrect them, it's irreversible. That's one understanding of Ein Onshim Min Adin. The other understanding of Ein Onshim Min Adin is the following. The classical, does anybody know what the classical case of Ein Onshim Min Adin is? It's not this case of Ovid. It's a case of achoso, because the Torah says you're not allowed to have a relationship with your half-sister, whether it's your half-sister maternal or paternal. What if she's your full sister? So the Gemara says that the Torah had to go out of its way with a special pasuk, this is Sugya Makas, to teach us that Yechayah for achoso she bas ovim ubas imo. So the Gemara says, why did the Torah have to do so?
Because he used a kalvachomer.
Kalvachomer, if he's chayah for half-sister, how much more so for a full-sister? And the Gemara says, Ein Onshim Min Adin.
Oh, so it agrees with Rava.
And agrees with Rav in that case. Abai has to come up with another justification why the Torah had to tell you Achoso she bas ovim bas imo. So if you take a look at in the sugya of Achoso, Rashi says over there that the reason why Ein Onshim Min Adin, the Torah didn't rely on our logic to derive the conclusion and punish a person who had the relation with his full sister is because of a different rule. And what's this rule? Fascinating rule. whenever the Torah gives an onesh, it guarantees what?
There's two psukim.
It guarantees kapara. Kapara is a guarantee in an onesh. We don't have, the Torah, the halacha doesn't have in its philosophy such a thing as punishment, for the sake of punishment. We think of punishment, you know, beat up the guy, you know. You think of a terrorist as a murderer, just kill the guy, right? That's not the way the Torah sees it. The Torah sees punishment as almost like a zchus, it's almost like a right. What right do I have? What privilege do I have? I have a privilege. The Torah has to guarantee me with onesh kapar. There ain't no such thing as onesh without kapar. So the Torah says, if she see a half-sister, we're going to punish you, you get malchus, and that malchus brings kapar. But if she's a full sister, you don't deserve that punishment. Because that punishment gives you a privilege of kapar. You have to get a worse punishment. And we don't know what that worse punishment is. And we don't have that worse punishment right now. Is Einon Shemin Adin. And you should know that on this issue about why Einon Shemin Adin, again, I didn't prepare that for today's Daf Yom
Kippur. That's why the Torah gives a special pasuk that there is onesh.
Correct. That even though it's a much more severe violation, he's not just achi aviv, he's also aviv, the Torah says, I'm still going to guarantee you kapar. Again, I'm simplifying something that would be an hour's discussion. The one who has a beautiful piece on this, his name is Rav Rosmarin, Rav Moshe Rosmarin. He's a contemporary. He used to have a yeshiva zone. I don't think the yeshiva exists anymore, but he writes a sefer called Dvar Moshe. So in his introduction to Bava Kama, he has a whole discussion about Einon Shemin Adin. You can also, by the way, get a lot of information on Einon Shemin Adin from the Encyclopedia Talmudit. Because on the Ains, they have almost a whole volume. The word Ain, etc., appears all over Shabbat. All right. Now the question is, how are we going to do this? All right. Let's go on. So you'll fault me in the... All right, fine. It's very hard to learn with you guys. I'm telling you, because there's such a temptation to go off on a tangent. And I don't know what to do, because, you know, the pressure of the daf.
It's all good. I think
you
started fine.
Yeah, right. For Rabbanon Azhara Li'eshis Aviv Minolahu. So now that the Rabbanon say that Eras Avicha is referring to Mamish, to a homosexual act, so what about his father's wife? Where did we derive this from? Nafkaluhu mi Eras Eshes Avicha Lo Sigale. Now we go to Pasuk Ches. Again, if you still have your chart out, it says Ervas Eshes Avicha, the middle Pasuk in the box. Lo Sigale Ervas Avicha. Here it clearly says Eshes Avicha. Correct? And that's the Azhar for Eshes Aviv. For Rabbi Yehuda. Now Rabbi Yehuda again used the phrase in the previous pasuk Zion Ervas Avicha to refer to Eishes Aviv. So why did the Torah have to repeat itself? Hahumi boilel Azhar li Eishes Aviv liachar misa. This woman was married to my father. My father is no longer alive. I'm still enjoyed from having a relationship with her, and that's because the Torah repeats itself as far as Eishes Aviv. But Rabbanon, they don't have that luxury because they need the second pasuk. The first pasuk is referring to Aviv Mamish, and it's only the second pasuk that's referring to Eishes Aviv, and therefore how do they know that Eishes Aviv is also even Liachar Mises Aviv? Hahu Misefa Dekrod Nafka. Let's go back to the pasuk. The pasuk says Ervas Avicha He. It just said Ervas Eishes Aviv. Why does it repeat itself in the same pasuk, Ervas Avicha He? To teach you, even if his father, or I should say his mother's husband is dead. Rabbi Yehuda. So why does Rabbi Yehuda need a second pasuk here if he already derived it from the beginning of this pasuk? The ratio of this pasuk has already taught him liachar misa. Hahumi boile mishum eshes of atamachayvo v'iatamachayvo mishum eshes ish. Interesting. This is against our Mishnah, but the Gemara is suggesting that Rabbi Yehuda, to the same extent that he held that in the case of Imo Sheishes Aviv, he only gets one Chata, so too, in the case of Eishes Aviv, let's assume it's Eishes Aviv, that's not his It's not his mother. It's not his mother, right? So we've isolated Eishes Aviv. And let's assume that his father is alive. Now he should mechayev him not only for Eishes Aviv, but also for Eishes Ish. Right. And the answer is that there's a miut here, because the pasuk went out of its way to add the words Ervas Avicha hi, that you're only chayev because it's Ervas Aviv, but not because of Eishes Ish. The Gemara says, but that's against our Mishnah. For Tnan Habal Eishes Av, chayev alev Mishum Eishes Av, Mishum Eishes Ish. The Mishnah says that you chayev a double chiyuv because there's an overlap of two arayos, bein b'chayov and bein li'achar misus aviv. V'lo polig Rabbi Yehuda. The Mishnah doesn't record any dissenting view of Rabbi Yehuda. Apparently Rabbi Yehuda accepted that in this case you chayev two. So how can you tell me that he uses the pasuk ervas avicha hi to tell you that you're only chayev for ervas aviv but not for eishes aviv? Amar Abaye Polig Bibraisa. In other words, even though in our Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda is not recorded, he's omitted from our Mishnah, apparently Shtika Koda, that he accepted the opinion of the Chachamim, but the Braisa knew better. Again, it's a little bit of a question here, because the Mishnah mentions Rabbi Yehuda and his dissenting view with regard to Eishes Aviv, so why didn't it mention his dissenting view with regard to Eishes Ish? That's a question. Okay. V'rabbanan. In other words, now the Rabbanan want to know Eishet Onesh, the Eishes of Lachar Misa, Minolahu. We derive from Pasuk Ches, Lo Segala, that's the Azhara. And that teaches me that even after his father's death, he cannot have a relationship with his father's late wife. No, you don't say that. His father's alive wife. The wife of his late husband, right? Because it says Ervas Avicha Hi. So how do we know that even in this case there is a Misa, there's a Chiyuv Misa? Because again, we have a rule that every Azhara needs an Onish, and every Onish needs an Azhara. It's interesting, a package deal in the Torah requires two psukim. Bishleim Rabbi Yehuda Maisi Le'Bigzeres Shava. The Gemara says that you could derive an Onish from Gzeres Shava. And Rabbi Yehuda had the Gzeres Shava. But the Chacham never had that Gzeres Shava. Ela Rabbana Minolahu Amri Lecha Hahu Ervas Avicha Gila. Let's go back to the pasuk again. It says in pasuk Yud Aleph, when it talks about the onesh, right? That's the demeyam bam, which is the onesh of skila. It says there ervas avicha gila. And what is that pasuk ervas avicha gila telling me? So if it's according to Rabbi Yehuda the Mapik, Rabbi Yehuda Gzeres Shav, Rabbi Yehuda needs that pasuk Ervas Avicha Gila to prove that Ervas Avicha means the wife of his father, not Avicha Mamish. But the Chacham never accepted that Gzeres Shav, and therefore they have the extra pasuk of Ervas Avicha Gila, and they're going to use that pasuk to teach me the Onesh, even though the pasuk is written in the Azhara, right? Pasuk Yud Aleph says, I'm sorry, the other way around. Even though this pasuk is written, one more time. Right. Sorry. Because this pasuk is written in the context of the onesh, and there's an extra pasuk that says ervas avicha gila, which is going to include even after his father's death. So it's coming to teach me that if he violates the lav, the erva of eishes aviv liachar mises aviv, he gets an onesh of skila. Now the Gemara wants to know for Rabbanon, Onesh li'imo. What about his mother? Where do we know the Onesh from? Because we have the lav here in the pasuk of Ervas imcha lo segala imcha hi. But where do we know the Onesh from? We only have an Onesh for Eishes Aviv. We don't have an Onesh for Imo. Onesh li'imo shein Eishes Aviv minole. Amar Rav Shisha. Oh, this was Rav Shisha that we had. That we never knew what he said. Now finally, we're going to finally say the Gemara quoted this back on Daf Nun Gimel. Brother of Idi Amakra Imcha He. You remember in Pasuk Zion, it said Imcha He. I saw a kosovly Imo Sheino Eishes Aviv Ki Imo Sheishes Aviv. This is coming to teach you the Onesh for Imo who's not Eishes Aviv. Now the Mishnah tells us that if a man has a relationship with his daughter-in-law, then he has to bring how many chatos? He brings, what does it say in the Mishnah? He brings one chatos, correct? Or, wait a minute, just give me a second, sorry. Habal kalosa, he's chayev two chatos. One is because it's his daughter-in-law. Number two, it is also an Ashes Ish. In fact, the Gemara lets me chayev him three chatos. Vel chayev nami mishum Ashes bino. Okay, so here we have to go to the Pasuk. This is Pasuk Tesvav in the same Parsha. In Vayikra Yudches, there it says, you'll see it on the bottom, Ervas Kaloscha Lo Segale. Oh, look at that. The Torah uses two words, or shall we say two phrases, to describe a daughter-in-law. On the one hand, she's called Kaloscha. On the other hand, it's called Eshes Bimcha. And in both cases, it says Lo Segale, correct? So it means that Lo Segale, number one, Eshes Kaloscha. Number two, Lo Segale, Eshes Bincha. So the fact that she, forget about the fact, in other words, the daughter-in-law relationship sort of is an erva between the father-in-law and the daughter-in-law. But then there's another problem here, because she's also Ashes Bino, and the Torah goes out of its way to call her Ashes Bincha, so maybe he should be Chayv 3. Amar Abaye, Pasach HaKosu B'Kalosu V'Siyim Ashes Bino, Lomar L'cha Zui Kalosu Zui Ashes Bino. The Torah wants to tell you just the opposite. Don't begin to think that we're talking about two different shemos. No, the Torah adds Eishes Bino to tell you that Kaloso is Eishes Bino, and it's all one shame. If you have a chance, you'll take a look at the footnote here, and he expands upon this. I just want to get to the next Mishnah, so we'll leave that for as a homework assignment for you. Okay. Habal HaZachor. Now it's interesting, there's a word zachar and there's a word zachur. Do you see that? Mm-hmm. Here it says zachur. Now I'm going to be very graphic here, and you'll forgive me for this, but the difference is that zachar refers to the male organ going into the anal orifice of another male. The anal orifice itself is called zachur. So there's zachar and there's zachur. So since we're talking about haba al hazachur, and the zachur is what's called the nishkav, that part of his body is called zachur. Okay, I'm just giving you a little bit of the Hebrew semantics here, because you know Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, when he wrote the Mishnah, he was very careful about Hebrew digduk. He knew digduk a lot better than anyone else will know digduk. The ala behema, if a man has a relationship with a behema, v'ha isha hameviya es habehema, a woman brings a behema onto herself, obviously a male behema, in all these three cases, b'skila. Now, here we have a very strange Mishnah, the second part of this Mishnah. First of all, Mishnahs generally don't ask philosophical questions, that's unusual. And secondly, this would seem not to be the appropriate place for this question. I'll explain as we go along. The Mishnah asks, im adam chata, behema machata. This Mishnah doesn't say a word about punishing the animal. That's a different Mishnah earlier in Masechta Sanhedrin, that we stone the animal. Here we're talking about stoning the woman who had a sodomy relationship with an animal. But for some reason, unknown to us, the Mishnah decides to ask a philosophical question. And it could be because the Mishnah already bavarns, the Mishnah already anticipates the answer to this question. The answer to the question is based on the fact that we're going to put the woman to death for having this relationship. So why do we put the behemoth to death? Why is the behemoth guilty of any crime? Elefisha ba'a li adam takola al yada. That somehow, as the, shall we say, the divine providence would have it, this was the animal that brought about the ultimate death of this woman. Lefichach omar hakosuv tisakel. In other words, the Torah somehow attributes a funny kind of guilt to an animal. And this, my friends, touches on a very deep philosophical question, whether an animal has any element of guilt. Do you know where I would look for an answer to that question? What is the most important philosophical work that was ever written about the Jewish philosophy? It's the Ramban al-Torah. The Pirush Ramban al-Torah is the Yesod HaYesodos. And the Ramban at the beginning of Sefer Bereishis talks about freedom of choice, and he raises the question whether an animal is free of choice, and he quotes the parsha of Hashar Yisakel, that we give skila to the thing. So he says, and if you'll tell me that skila to the animal is a punishment for the owner of the animal, he should have been careful. He says, but the din is that you put an animal to death even if it's behemus hefker. So he says, well, what's behemus hefker? So he says, you see, an animal has some quasi intelligence, whatever that intelligence level is. I mean, the animal pros, you know, those organizations would be very happy with that Ramban. It's a very controversial Ramban. Dovar Ach, the Mishnah itself is not happy with the first interpretation. There's no element of guilt in the animal, but rather shalote behemo veris b'shuk v'yom zuhi sheniskal ploni al yada. It was a result of this animal, again, whether it's female in the case of a male sodomist, or it's a male animal in the case of a female, it's zuhi, they're going to point to the niskal ploni al yada. And again, I think this is another expression of Brar lo misa yafa. Remember, the Gemara derives from the pasuk of Yahavtel Recha Kamocha, that when we put someone to death with a capital punishment, we have to be very, very, what's the opposite of harsh, very compassionate about the misa. And here too, even though we're putting to death a person for having this relationship with an animal, my God, this is despicable. But yet, we have to limit it. You know, we don't want the extra publicity that this animal is this male whatever is the accomplice, excellent, the accomplice to that crime of this woman, and that further publicizes the crime of the woman. Okay, the Gemara says Zachar Minolon. How do we know that there is an onesh for Mishkav Zohar? David, you have to go?
Sure. No.
Soon. You have a few more minutes? Okay, good. Because I want you to at least get up to Nundalad on the base, you know, and then we'll let you go. Okay. The Tanur Rabbanu, we learned in a Braisa. Okay. Now, in order to appreciate this Braisa, you have to look at the Pasuk, which is brought here on the bottom, on the top right of the bottom. And it says in Vayikra Perek Chof, the isha sheyishkav es, what's the next word here? I can't see it. Es zohar mishkevei isha toava asu shnehem mos yumsu demehem bom. Okay, so the main part of this pasuk for our purposes is shnehem. Do you see that word shnehem? And shnehem means, so we're referring to both the shochev and the nishkav. But first, the Gemara in this Braisa wants to interpret the word v'ish. Why does the Torah go out of its way to say v'ish?
Yeah,
Adam, or other words. And he says the Tanur Rabbanan, ish prat lekatan. Now, this is a big, gigantic controversy here. What does this mean, ish prat lekatan? So we're talking about a case of either A or B, and it doesn't matter, this is not the machlokas, because both cases are correct. Either the katan, who again is a ben tes, is the shochev, right, he's the more active participant, or he is the nishkav, he's the more passive on the receiving end. By the way, it doesn't matter. Now, what is the teller telling me, prat l'katan, that this punishment does not apply in the case of a katan? So one school of thought says that it means that in the case of a katan, no one is punished, even the gadol, whether he's the shochev or the nishkav. And others say, prat l'katan is coming to tell you that the katan himself is not punished. But ein hachinami, the gadol, the accomplice, the other participant, he is going to be put to death, as long as the katan is a bentes. So that's a major, major pluto. Asher yishkav es zohar. Now let's look at the next part of the braisa. So that seems to answer our question that we asked before. And the Gemara is darshaning asher yishkav es zohar. It seems to say any zohar is bein gadol bein katan. So this would support the view that we do put the
accomplice.
We put the accomplice to death if he's a gadol, even though his partner is a katan. So this is going to be a question whether you have this text or you don't have this text. Then it says Mishkafei Isha. Now this pasuk Mishkafei Isha is totally superfluous. It has no purpose here in its context. And the reason for that is that in a case of Mishkaf Zohar, it's got to be Shtei Mishkavos. It's got to be what we call the anal intercourse. There's no other way of imagining Mishkaf Zohar. And therefore, we have to take this pasuk out of its context. Magid l'chakosv sheshnei mishkavos be'isha, that when a person is put to death for violating a heterosexual relationship that's prohibited, it applies even through the back, even if it's a bia shelo kedarka, an unnatural bia. That's called mishkavei isha, both mishkavos, whether it's the front or the back, if you follow what I mean. Om Rabbi Yishmael, hare, this becomes a case of zeh bol lamed v'nimsa lamad. This is a case where in its context, it teaches nothing, so it seems like it's Bala Lamed, but it doesn't really teach me anything in its context of Mishkav Zohar, but Venim Salamed, but it comes to instruct us as far as another din is concerned. Now we go on in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Mos you must. And what is that coming to teach me? Biskiwa. Oh, Eino. El Biachas be called Miso, Samuris Betorah. Maybe it's Srefo. Nemer Kant Veim Bum. The key to the Xerishov, back to Ovidoni, right? Ovidoni is the paradigm, right? It's a paradigm case because it says Rugamu Bavonim Umesu. And there it says Dmeim Bum in Ovidoni. Is Malahal and Beskila, just like in Ovidoni, it's explicit that he gets Skilaf Kan Beskila. Here too, in the case of Mishkav Zohar, he gets Skila. Now we're up to Daf Nun Dalid Amud Beis. Onesh Shamanu, right? This pasuk that we've been analyzing here, which is pasuk Yud Gimel, speaks about Mos Yumsu, about the onesh. But we said there's no such thing as an onesh without an azhar. Azhara minayin tabul lomar v'es zachar lo sishkav mishkevei isha to'eva hi. So now it's interesting. The onesh is written vayter, meaning in perek. But if we turn back to Perek Yudches, there the Torah says V'yaz zochar lo sishkav mishkevei isha to'eva hi, and it says lo sishkav, lo sishkav. Lo sishkav is what? Is a lav. So we have now both a lav, which is in Perek Yudches, and fast forward to Perek Chaf, we have the Onish. L'manu azhor l'shochev. But take a look at the pasuk. The pasuk is talking about the active participant, lo sishkav. Azhar l'nishkav minayin. What about the recipient, the passive person? That's called a nishkav. Talmud lomar. Oh, here the Gemara quotes a pasuk from an entirely different context in the middle of Sefer Dvarim. And there the pasuk says, Lo yeh kadesh mi bnei Yisrael. Kadesh is a person who is designated for Mishkav Zohar. He's like a prostitute, yeah, a male prostitute for homosexual acts.
They spoke about the used word kadesh with Tamar and Judah.
Yeah. I don't know why it's in that context. But here it's referring to the Nishkav, the Omer. Now, how do we know that this word kadesh is referring to homosexuality? So for that we need a pasuk in Tanakh, which is in Sefer Melachim. And if you take a look at footnote number 5, he's going to give you the entire context there in Sefer Melachim. But there it says, "Vagam kadesh." This is where the Tanakh is castigating the Jewish people for various abominations, and it says, "Gam kadesh ayavos." That's how far they went. What's the source? From where do we as Jews, chas v'sholom, come to violate homosexuality? How did it enter into the Jewish nation? We are imitating the goyim. Somehow the influence by contagion of living in the lands amongst the goyim brings us to this to'eva. And this to'eva is kadesh. You know, this is the most extreme abomination that you could envision. And that's something that we learned from the Goyim. But we see that the word Kadesh is referring to a male as you said it before, Kadesh. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva Merina Tzarech. Rabbi Kiva says, I can derive the Azhara for the Nishkav from the Pasuk itself. Now this drasha is based on the following. You know, I don't have to tell you, that there are no vowels in the Torah. And when there are no, since there are no vowels in the Torah, we have, through Torah Shebaal Peh, the right to take what's called the Kri and read it according to the Ksiv, meaning we can rearrange the vowels, even though, again, we have a definite tradition of how to read the word. But nevertheless, since the Torah omits the vowels and just gives us the letters of the word, we have a right to rearrange the vowels in order to derive new halachas in Torah Shebaal Peh. Harehu Omer. It says in the Pasuk, Ve'es Zachar Lo Sishkav Mishkevei Isha, correct? And we read it as Lo Sishkav, which refers to the, how should I say, the active participant. Kribe, but if we go back to the Kri, which means if we take the Ksiv and we rearrange the vowels, is we can read it in a different way. Kribe Lo Sishachev. You see, it's the same four letters of Lo Sishkav, but we change it from a Pol to a Nifal by changing the vowels to Tishachev. Okay then? Fine. Behema Minolan. How do we know?
That's a passive Tishachev.
Yeah. Tishachev is passive, right? It's what's called Nifal. There's the Poel and the Nifal. And it refers to the passive. Again, he has to be warned and he has to be mazed. You know, he's deliberate about it and he, you know, presents himself for this action. But nevertheless, he's passive. And by the way, you shouldn't be bothered by the fact, which I was bothered by, that you can put someone to death for being passive. Because the truth is that in all arayas, the Torah says, Umesu shtei anefashos, which refers even to the woman. And the famous Gemara in Sanhedrin, Takitz in Sanhedrin, on Daf Ayin Hey, I think, of Karka Olam. You remember that famous principle called Karka Olam, that a woman is passive in the Maisa Bia, and yet the Torah says to put it to death.
Well, not necessarily, it's against the will.
No, I'm saying, assuming there was Hasra, there was deliberate, and all the rest, even though she's not doing a Maisa, it's the only case that I know of where the Halacha put someone to death for being passive is only in Arayas, whether it be Mishkav Zohar in the case of the Mishkav, whether it be all Arayas in the case of a woman. I mean, there's a Meiri Shita who thinks that if she goes into the room, that itself makes it into a Maisa. But Behema Minolan, how do we know that there's skila for a relationship with a behema? The Tanur Rabbanu, we learned in the Braisa, it says Ish Prat Lekatan, and then it says Asher Yitein Shechavto Bebehema Bein Gedola Bein Ktana. Okay, so let's see if we can.
It's talking Gedola Ktana on the behema.
I'm not sure. Wait, just give me 1 minute, because this is, I think, as far as I got. If I remember. Okay, let's see. Again, it's always helpful to see the pasuk inside. It's here in number 7. You'll see the Ish Asher Yitein Shchavto Bebehema Mos Yumas. This is the Onesh for behema, and then it says Ves behema taharogu. So the pasuk opens up with the word ve'ish, and that means prat lekatan. So it means that a katan who has a relationship with behema is not put to death.
The behema wouldn't be put to death.
Is that what it means? So just give me a second here.
No, if you look at 9, it doesn't. If we footnote 9.
No, I was looking at footnote 8, but I just didn't have the patience to go back to 52b, note 34. Can you do that for me, David? If you don't mind? Just, I don't want to slow myself down here. I'm on the, what's the word?
The word ish.
On the run.
Grown man, not a
read it again, Michael.
The word ish means a full grown man, not a minor.
Oh, that's all he says there?
Yeah.
So for that, he had to send me back for that. Okay. All right, so we have machlokes here between myself and David, and I'm assuming David's right and I'm wrong. David says prat lakot means that we don't put the animal to death. I was assuming prat lakot means we don't put the child to death. So let's see if we can develop that as we go along. Okay, so now we're keeping one finger on the pasuk here, and we're going beyond the word ve'ish, and it says asher yitain shchavto debehema. And here it says bein gidola bein ktana. Oh, so he says that this is referring to the age of the animal. Wow, this is wild. There was some sort of a havamina here that if the animal is young, I don't know. This I don't understand.
Well,
just 1 second. Give me one second. Talking about not the cotton. Yeah, go ahead. What do you want to say, David? I'm sorry.
It starts off with the ish. So it can't be that the ish is katan. Anyway, it's in the feminine, like Bahima, Ktana, Gdola. Must be referring to the Bahima. You really got the ish, so he's not a minor.
Right. No, I agree with you. Why did the Torah have to go out of its way to tell me with these words, Shchavto b'behema, Bein Migdola, Bein Migtan? I'm just wondering if this kind of mice of a Mishka Behemoth should make any difference, that why the age of the Behemoth should be relevant.
Because if there's a difference in the age of the person, if it's a child, then it doesn't apply. So saying with an animal, it does apply.
You might have half a minute to think
that. That you might have had a half a minute. Again, this makes sense, I think, according to the first explanation of the Mishnah as to why we stone the animal. That the animal himself was the impediment here, the barrier, the mikshal that brought about this mishkav zocher. So if that be the case, maybe a young animal should not be put to death. Maybe that's what the Gemara wants to say. Because again, we surely put the boel to death, right? Because the shochev, because he's a gadol, he's a mature person. But maybe we shouldn't put the animal to death. That's what I'm just suggesting. I don't know. Tzarech iyun, you know, that's not for us now. Now we go on in the pasuk. Mos yumos b'skiwa at omer b'skiwa o eno el b'achas mikol misus haburus b'tor nemer kan taharogu. So again, here in this pasuk, it doesn't say tmeim bum, so we don't have the avidoni paradigm, but we do have the word taharogu v'nemar lahalon, and later on it says Taharogu, it says Ki Harog Tehargenu. I'm assuming that's the parasha of Ovidoni. If somebody could. No, it's not. What is the parasha?
It's idolatry, it says.
Ah, this is the case of Avodah Zorah, and it says in Avodah Zorah Ki Harog Tehargenu. So therefore, Malahal Beskila, Afkan Beskila. Just like in the case of Avodah Zorah, Yechayv in Skila. So too, in the case of Mishkav Behema Yechayev Skila. Lamadnu Onesh Lashochev. Right before, we had a whole discussion about Azhara Lenishkav. And we had a machlokus between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. How do you derive that? That's only as far as Azhara is concerned. Now we're up to Onesh. How do we know that Onesh Lenishkav Ninolan? Talmud Lomar Kol Shochev. Okay, 1 second. Where's the pasuk here? Ah, it's a pasuk in Shmos. Rabosai, we're going to have a chumash by us. I just don't have the time to get a chumash here and then to open it up to the right. All right, thank you so much. Because, you know, usually he brings down the pasuk. So far, I don't see that he brings down this pasuk. Talmud Lomar, kol shochev im behema mos yumos. Now, this is called him in Eino Inyan.
It's actually in the Gilyon HaShas.
Oh, is it the Gilyon HaShas? That's good.
It's in the Torah
Or. Torah Or, right, the Torah Or. So let's just, once we have the Chumash, if you could open up to Perek Chav Beis, Pasuk Yud Ches, Perek Chav Beis in Shmos. Chav Beis, Perek Chav Beis in Shmos, Pasuk Yud Ches.
Chav Beis Yud Ches.
Yen Yud Ches. That's the whole pasuk?
Yeah.
It's a short pasuk, huh? Okay, so it's good to keep the Chumash open. Now, why is this pasuk superfluous? And the answer is because we already had a pasuk. If you could open up to Vayikra Perek Chaf without losing the place in Shmos Perek Chaf Beis, but if you open up to Vayikra Perek Chaf Pasuk Tesvav, which is the pasuk that we've been dealing with until now, and there the Torah says V'isha Shayitein Shchav To Behema Mos Yumos Ve'esa Behema Taharogu, and that already taught us that there's an onesh skila for both the shochev and the nishkav. So why did the Torah here in Shmos have to repeat kol shochev and behema mos yumos? We already have the punishment in the pasuk in Vayikra v'esa behema, right? It says mos yumos v'esa behema tarogu im eno inyan l'shochev tneu inyan l'nishkav.
So to repeat the onish for
twice.
The person
to teach you that even the person who is a passive participant, he also gets skila. Lamanu onish bein l'shochev bein l'nishkav azhara minayin. How do we know the azhara for the nishkav? And this we've already seen earlier on this daf, Rabbi Shmuel's drasha from the pasuk in Molochim. Gemara says, Talmud Lomer b'chol behema lo titein shchavtecha l'tama ba. So now we have lo titein, and this is in the case of, no, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. What we had before in Rabbi Shmuel, that was by Mishkav Zohar. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Now we're talking about Mishkav Behema. So how do we know the azhara for Mishkav Behema, the punishment? We had two psukim. We had the pasuk in Vayikra that says mos yumos, and we had the pasuk in Shmos that included even the nishkav in the misa of skila. Correct. But what about the azhara? So we have one pasuk here in Vayikra that says kol behema lo sitein shchavtecha l'tama ba lo sitein. So that's already an azhara, that's a lav. But that's only referring to the shochev, because it says lo sitein, he's the active participant. L'manu azhara l'shochev l'nishkav minayin. So it's interesting, we have three out of four now. We have both an onesh for the shochev and an onesh for the nishkav. That was the double mos yumos. And now we have an azhara for the shochev, lo sitein shchavtecha. What we're missing is the fourth piece of the puzzle, namely an azhara for the nishkav. Talmud Lomar, and here we have a pasuk, lo yeh kadesh. But again, we don't know that lo yeh kadesh is referring to mishkav zocher. For that, we're going to need the equation to Malachim. So it says, Talmud Lomar lo yeh kadesh mibnei Yisrael. Again, if you want to open up to Dvarim, this pasuk we didn't open up to, Dvarim perek chaf gimel, pasuk yud ches. Okay, so we'll see the whole pasuk inside. Lo yeh kadesh mibnei Yisrael. Do we have that, David? If I can show you for that. Chaf gimel yud ches. Interesting. That's very fascinating. I'm glad you opened up the pasuk, because I just realized that classically, when you talk about the concept, it's kadesha, you know. But the Torah went out of its way to say that there's not only a kadesha, but there's also a kadesh. So the kadesh is the male. Okay. Now, how do we know that the kadesh is referring to this toeva of Mishkav Behema? So he says, V'yomer v'gam kadesh hoya ba'aretz, and the end of the pasuk was, we're not going to take out a Tanakh right now, but k'chol ha'toevas ha'goyim asher horish. Alright, that's Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva omer in etzach, Rabbi omer lo sitein shchavtecha, and we have the right to use the kri of the pasuk, lo sitein shchivascha, and that's a fair reference even into to the nishkav as well.
But he's putting an extra letter there.
Are you allowed to do that?
Before, what did he say? He said, Tishachet.
Yeah,
okay. And now Michael points out that he's taking the pasuk that says, Lotzitein Shchavtecha, and he's reading it as Shchivascha. Oh, I don't think he's adding the yud. I think the printer adds the yud. Do you understand? Because in the printed Gemaras, they didn't have vowels. So how would they convey the message to the reader, like you and I, that there's a chirik under the chav, so therefore he adds a yud after the chav. But that was a good point, Michael.
So if the Torah wanted to write Shekhivosakha, it wouldn't put a yud in?
No, it would not put a yud in. That yud is sort of like a pointer for the reader. Then the Torah doesn't give that point.
You put it in modern Hebrew.
In modern Hebrew, you do add pointers.
People put in an extra yud.
Extra yud.
Put it in.
Right. And they only do it to teach you what's the vowel. Yeah, you know, they add the chiruk.
Right. I don't know.
Yeah, because in modern Hebrew, it's very difficult to read Hebrew books without vowels because there's so many different ways of pronouncing a word.
Right.
So they add a yud for that.
Newspapers as well.
Newspapers, yeah. But in the Torah, that's always a secret, that you have to have the right Kabbalah to know how to read the word. That's why when a bar mitzvah boy or anybody, for that matter, who prepares the Kriya, he has to have a Tikkun Korim because the Tikkun Korim will have the Mesorah of how to vocalize the word. Okay. Oh, now the rest of the sugi here, and it's very complicated, gives nafkaminas between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva for the Nishkav. Again, Rabbi Yishmael derives the Nishkav from a Gzeirah Shava, and Rabbi Akiva derives the Nishkav from the original Lav itself, Lositein Shchavtecha. So what's going to be the nafkamina? Haba al hazachur Vehevi olav zocher. What happens if behelim achas? We've discussed helim achas in the past, have we not? One forgetfulness. He accidentally, unintentionally, violates two different isurim. He is both an active participant, that's called habal azachur, and he is the zachur himself, and he brings someone else upon him, he is the passive.
If he brings somebody on him, he's not passive, is he? It means if somebody else comes...
Yes. No, but I'm just saying he's not using his male organ. In other words, you follow what I'm saying? So in the first Avera that he did, he used his organ. Right. In the second, he exposed his backside, right? So how many different violations did he violate? So it turns out that this should be a machlokas between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yafo, he explains, L'divir Rabbi Akiva, Chayav Shtayim, O Baruch Hashem.
Rabbi Yishmael, I meant to say.
Because I'm already thinking of Rabbi Akiva. Let me explain to you why I came to this conclusion, even without seeing Rabbi Yafo. Baruch Shekivati, as we say. Because Rabbi Akiva is telling us that there's one lav over here. There's no special source for the Nishkav. We're just rewriting the vowels. So when it says Lo Sitein Shchavtecha, that's one single lav for both the Shochev and the Nishkav. Therefore, there's only one violation. But according to Rabbi Yishmael, we have a different violation here for the Nishkav, and that's the violation of... Doc, you have the pasuk there. Vagam Kadesh. What does it say there?
Lo Yeh Kadesh.
Excellent. Lo Yeh Kadesh. It's the Divrei Rabbi Yishmael, Chayav Shtayim, Chada Milo Sishkav, which is referring to the, I call it the active participant, and Chada Milo Yeh Kadesh for the passive participant. Correct? And Lo Yeh Kadesh is a different pasuk in a different place in the Torah that generates a violation of the Nishkav.
So, Rabbi Akiva, although he changes the vowels, he's considered still it's one.
Correct, because it only says the word low once in the Torah. According to Rabbi Shmuel, the word low appears twice in the Torah. It says low, Sishkav, it says low, yeah, Kaddish, in two different places in the Torah, one in Vayikra, one in Sefer Dvarim, and one is for the Shochev, lo sishkav. The other is lo yeh kadesh, is for the, you know, the person who presents himself for mishkav zohar. He's, I call the passive, just for communication purposes, the passive element. But there's two lo's, meaning the two separate lavim in the Torah. But according to Rabbi Akiva, there's only one lav.
So wait, Rabbi Akiva doesn't. Rabbi Akiva only believes it's the active participle.
No. I'm just saying that these two lavim are one lav. Meaning you can only give two. You can only obligate one in two chatos if he violates two different lavim. And here he only violated one lav. The Torah gave in one lav, in one lotas, both a lav for the shochev and a lav for the nishkan.
So not two.
Well, again, the two isurim or two arayos, but there's only one lav, and the rule of thumb is you can only get a chatos for violating a lav if it's a lav. But here he violated the same lav twice. Okay. Let me explain. The Torah says you're not allowed to eat dam. If you eat dam b'shogeg, you bring a chatos. Supposing I eat dam, chas v'shalom, and then I eat dam again, in one helen. How many chatos do I bring?
One.
I only bring one, because I violated the same lav twice. If on the other hand I eat dam and I eat chelev, in the same forgetfulness, then I bring two chatos, because I violated two different lotases. And it's fascinating, according to Rabbi Akiva, there's only one lotas. Now, if I had the time for Iyun, I would look in the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs, and it'd be fascinating to see if the Rambam counts Shochev and Nishkav as two lavim out of the Taryag. If he paskins like Rabbi Akiva, I would say it's only one lav in Taryag. If he paskins like Rabbi Shmuel, and again, there's a tremendous nafkamin in terms of Hilchos Shgagos. And the real place to look for the Rambam would be in Hilchos Shgagos. And then I would look in Sefer HaMitzvahs. That would be fascinating. Anyone who has the time for that, I would be very appreciative. Unfortunately, I have to prepare three different shiurim for Shabbos today when I finish with the Daf Yomi. Plus, I have a chavrusa, so I don't know if I'll have time. Is Eino Chavla Lo Tishkav Lo Tishachev Chadahi? It's one law. Okay. Now, here we have an afkamina between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel in a theoretical case of shogeg. The Gemara wants to look for another afkamina, which is a more, shall we say, practical afkamina. Abala behema vehevi behema olav. Right?
It's the same thing, just with behema.
Right.
Same thing as the last case.
Right. So there's the shochev in behema, and there's the nishkav in the behema. Is Omer Rabbi Avo, the divrei Rabbi Shmuel chayv shtayim, chadami lo sitain shchavtecha, and that's the active participant who sodomized an animal, and chadami lo yekodesh, which is the nishkav, who's, I call him the passive, quote unquote.
Usually the word sodomy, you mean bestiality.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, bestiality. Yeah. Sorry. So I'm not a bucky in
the question here is that if a man brings an animal onto himself.
Correct.
I never realized that it was a female animal. Sorry?
A female. No. What do you say?
If he brings a male animal on himself.
Because he's doing it from behind.
He can't bring a
female animal from behind. And that's a fascinating issue, but is that what we're talking about here tomorrow? No. You're just raising the question. What happens if
that animal on you?
It must
that would apply to a woman that I can understand, but can it apply to a man?
Yes, because it's from the behind. Yeah. It must be a male animal.
So that's something, this to me is a chiddush now, because I suddenly realize it happens.
Yeah. So again, what are you saying? The chiddush is that even though
the animal sodomizes a man.
Right. He's the nishkav in Mishkav Behemu. So it means, so the animal is a male.
Correct. That's the best.
Now, I'm not sure why is that a chiddush? What was the halacha? I'm sorry, I'm not making the calculation.
I've always understood there is a relationship between an animal and a human, it was always the woman. Because.
No, not at all. It's the male also. If he brings a female animal upon him, well, I mean, say if he has relationships with a female animal, and that's called the shochev, or if he's a nishkav and he brings a male animal through the back,
which is
right?
This case.
And how many is he chayev? So he did both belamachas. He was the active participant with a female animal, and he was the passive participant with a male animal. And he only, so the divrei according to Rabbi Shmuel Yitzchai Stein, right? Because again, the Kaddish is a separate lot. But according to Rabbi Akiva, is Ein Ochayev Ela Achas. Why? Because it says Shchavtecha, Shchavtecha Shchivascha. Again, it's just a change of the vowel, but Chari, it's one lot. Abaye Omar, Afilu Ledivrei Rabbi Yishmael, Nami Ein Ochayev Ela Achas. Why? The Chik Siv Lo Yia Kodesh, the Gavrik Siv.
It's only referred to humans and not to animals.
Right, so if that be the case, yeah, we're going to have to find another source, according to Abaye's understanding, Rabbi Shmuel, for a Nishkav in the case of an animal, because the Pasuk of Kodesh is not referring to, how did you call it, bestiality, but rather it's referring to sodomy. Okay, if we can use those English terms, which I'm not so familiar with, but El Rabbi Shmuel Azhara L'Nishkav Minole. Now you're using the pasuk of Kodesh for an Azhara, for a Nishkav L'Zachar, L'Male, human male. How do you know for an animal, right, that is a Nishkav? So he has a homosexual relationship with an animal, this male, right, with another male through the back. Where's the Azhara for that? Nafkale mi kol shochev in behema mos yumas.
So it doesn't matter from what side.
Right. Kol shochev in behema mos yumas. And eno inyan l'shochev, because we already have a pasuk for shochev, tneu inyan l'nishkav. V'afke rachmona l'nishkav b'loshin shochev. Ma shochev onesh v'hizir. Just like in the case where he, in this bestiality relationship, is an active participant, af nishkav onesh v'hizir. So too, if he's the passive relationship, he's also chayv. So where do we get up to? We get up to, and here we'll stop for davening, hanirva lizachar vanirva lebehema. And this is something that we'll have to take up in Mirzah. Well, the question is, Shabbos is not, we don't, do we have a shir on Shabbos?